Hello, podcast friends. Your host, Pedro Diaz, aka Peter Days. Welcome to the Cultural Broker, the Latino Experience. And today I have a study session on the art of persuasive writing and public speaking. And if you saw the last episode, it was the inaugural speech from John F. Kennedy. And I'm going to read the notes or my note cards from that class that, well, I'm educating myself on how to write better and, yeah, how to write better and how to use all these elements of writing. And that's what I'm going to talk. These are elements of writing. And I hope you enjoy this and I hope this helps someone. So let's get to it. Hybrid baton is a change from the ordinary or natural word order. The Greek etymon means stepping over. We may imagine the reader jumping from word to make sense of the sentence. That is hyperbaton. Antecedent and consequences. Often we will antecedent and consequence. Often we will say that one thing follows from another. It is a result or a logical conclusion. This relationship between terms is often at the heart of deductive argument. For instance, a person discussing new infrastructure projects might say, if we build new roads, we will have to levy new taxes to pay for them. This can easily be the first premise of a syllogism. If we build new roads, we will have to levy new taxes to pay for them. Therefore, it's worth noting that, like an antonym, this kind of statement of antecedent and consequence generally conceals some means of unspoken assumption. Here the assumption is that the only way to pay for new infrastructure projects is to levy taxes. While the syllogism is valid, we might question the truth of the initial premise by questioning the assumption, why not build a toll booth? So you see where I'm going with this. This is to get better at debating, to get better at public speaking, get better at writing. Antithesis. What is indifference? Etymologically, the word means no difference. A strange and unnatural state in which the lines blur between light and darkness, and dusk and dawn, and crime and punishment, and cruelty and compassion, and good and evil. Novelist and Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel, giving a speech titled The Perils of Indifference in the Millennium Lecture Series, April 12, 1999. Antithesis. Paradox and oxymoron. These two closely related tropes work through the starting juxtaposition of apparently incompatible ideas or words. An oxymoron is a single term that contradicts itself, like bittersweet or cruel kindness. A paradox is a statement or phrase that seems to contradict itself. Both paradoxes and oxymoron can startle the reader or the hearer and make familiar ideas seem fresh and new. Example: feather of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, still waking sleep. That is not what it is. William Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. His words at Gettysburg were sacred, yet the strange with a color of the familiar. The poet Carl Sandburg in a speech homing Abraham Lincoln, February 12, 1959. A metaphor. This is a continuation of the metaphor. So we'll put this aside and we'll look at it. Parallelism. Parallelism. A pairing or grouping of several related words, phrases, or sentences with the same or familiar grammatical structure. We cannot dictate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. Abraham Lincoln, Gettysburg Address, November 19, 1863. Parallelism. One more time. We cannot dictate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. Abraham Lincoln. Another example. Those who have been left out, we will try to bring in. Those left behind, we will help to catch up. Richard Nixon, inaugural address, January 20th, 1969. Anophora. Anophora is a form of parallelism. Anophora refers to the repetition of words at the beginning of the successive clauses in a sentence. Such an instant repetition heads emphasis and builds momentum. Anophora example. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on seas and oceans. We shall fight with the growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields, in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Winston Churchill, we shall fight on the beaches, June 4th, 1940. House of Commons. I like this one. Anophora. And an allusion, reference to another artistic's work, person, place, or idea well known to the audience in order to use its message or characteristic to illustrate the author's message. For example, English speakers frequently allude to Shakespeare or the Bible. Example, Africa must rise and put on her yet unwoven garment. Ethiopia shall stretch out her hand unto God. Frederick Douglass, what to the slave is the 4th of July? Another example, unto the latest of a world conflicts, the U.S. had no armaments industry. Americans make of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. Dwight D. Eisenhower, farewell address to the nation, January 17, 1961. Eisenhower warns against the military-industrial complex. Reference, biblical prophets Isaiah and Joel. A sibilance. The word sibilant comes from the Latin rooted meaning of hissing. Sibilance refers to the repetitions of sibilant consonant sounds like S, H, Z, and J. J. For example, they have something to say to us in their death. They have something to say to every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind the safety of security of stained glass windows. They have something to say to every politician who has fed his constituents the state bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. MLK, Eulogy of the Murder of Children, 1963. Here the pronounced sibilance hisses, snake-like, and sometimes even spits when paired with the plosive consonant P and T, suggesting that the listener every this sneer, subtle, sinister, sneaking, or sly. Man, this is good. One more time. They have something to say to us in their death. They have something to say to every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind the safe security of the stained glass windows. They have something to say to every politician who has fed his constituents the state bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. Man, MLK. Anofra. Example. Let's both sides explore what problems unite versus instead of belaboring those problems which divide us. Let both sides for the first time formulate serious and precise proposals for the inspection and control of arms, and bring the absolute power to destroy other nations under the absolute control of all nations. Let both sides seek to invoke the words, the wonders of science instead of its terrors. Let both sides unite to heed in all corners of the earth the command of the Isaiah to undo heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free. John F. Kennedy, inaugural address remarking the Cold War, January 20th, 1961. This one's great too. Anofra. Assonance is the repetition of vowels. Example. Why is mob murdered permitted by a Christian nation? What is the cause of this awful slaughter? This question is answered almost daily. Always the same shameless falsehood that Negroes are lynched to protect womanhood. Ida B. Wells, lynching our national crime address at the National Negro Conference, 1909. So here we go. Deductive reasoning. It makes one or more proposition and the works through their logical implication. Syllogism is a series of statements that make each proposition explicit. In a democracy, decisions are made by majority consensus. While a consensus is being worked out, each person will be able to advocate for his or her own interests. Therefore, decisions in a democracy will reflect the interests of the majority of the people. So that deductive reasoning, you use logic. Logos appeal to reasoning. Democracy always promotes the best interests of the majority of the people in any decision because everyone in the group can advocate for their interests and their decisions are made by majority consensus. Inductive reasoning. Make probable conclusions from X, example, or pieces evidence. Democracy is good for the overall success of a country. Many of the most powerful, prosperous nations in the world are ruled by democratic government. So it's, you make a probable conclusion. Inductive reasoning is more of a many of the most powerful, most prosperous and prosperous nations in the world are ruled democratic. Deductive reasoning uses that logic. Majority of consensus. While consensus is being worked out, each person is able to advocate for his or their own interests. Therefore, the decision of democracy will reflect the interests of the majority of the people. So this is what I'm learning at this rhetoric, the art of persuasive writing and public speaking from Harvard X, which is under edX.org. It's a non-profit. This is a plug, but I'm not getting paid for it. Check it out. And this channel is for self-improvement. It's a great place to start. Again, we see I already read this example about the paradox and oxymoron. Feather of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, still waking sleep. That is not what it is. William Shakespeare. Practices as a repetition. So this is designing arguments. Deposition, old Latin term, arrangement. Classic rhetoric in five parts. 1. Exordium, which is introduction. 2. Narration, the statement of the context or situation. 3. Confirmation, the presentation of argument and facts. 4. Refutation, the presentation of refutation of counter arguments. And 5. Peroration, which is the conclusion. This I need to save because right now I'm working on my last speech for the class. So we're going to see how I'm going to use that. Check if I have used all that. So another element. Syntax is the word order. Diction is word choice. Schemes is deviations from the ordinary arrangements of words, repetitions or omissions. Tropes, turns and twists, play on meaning from metaphors to puns. Simile, use words as like, as or like. So we're learning a little bit about the English, how to build good English. This is part of my note cards. Philology, the study of language in oral, written historical sources. It is the intersection of textual criticism, literary criticism, history, and linguistics. Back to the styles of difference. The topic of difference may be useful to counter and inductive arguments by showing that the examples given are not analogous to the case in question, or that terms used in the example do not match the definition given for them in the argument itself. In the countering the argument that a free market policy is good for the prosperity of a country, we might seek to find the difference between the example countries and the one for which the policy was being advocated, or differences between policies and the policies in the examples given. Analogs, the definition of analog is comparable in certain respects, typically in a way which makes clear the nature of things compared. That is difference. I'm going to read that one more time. Difference. The topic of difference may be useful to counter an inductive argument. We just read a little bit of inductive argument, which is a general. The example we gave, democracy is good for the overall success of the country. Many most powerful and prosperous nations in the world are ruled by democratic government. That's inductive. So the difference may be useful to counter an inductive argument like that by showing that the examples given are not analogous, comparable in certain respects, typically in a way which makes clear the nature of things compared. There you go. To the case in question, that the term is used in the example do not match the definition given for them in the argument itself. In countering the argument that a free market policy is good for the prosperity of a country, we might seek the difference between the examples of country and the one for which the policy was being advocated, or differences between the policy and the policies in the example. So this is kind of also used in debate. I'm sure this is, if we're studying politics. So here we go. Inductive reasoning. The topic of definition is a key step in making any appeal to logos, and inductive reasoning is no exception. If you are attempting to use one situation as an example to make an inference about another situation, you will need to show that the two situations are analogs. And analogs is comparable in certain respects, typically in a way which makes clear the nature of things compared. What was that? inductive is no exception. If you're attempting to use one situation as an example to make an inference about another situation, you will need to show that the two situations are analogs, and one key step to doing so is to prove that specific terms mean the same thing in both cases. In order to argue, for example, that a free market is good for a country's prosperity, we would have to define both of them, free market and term prosperity. Would a free market involve freedom for corporations from antitrust regulations, or would it involve freedom from consumers from price manipulation by corporations? Each of these competing definitions would have an effect on how we could interpret our examples. Hello guys, we're back, and we're back to studying elements of style for rhetoric, the art of persuasive writing and public speaking. So let's get to it. Back to inductive reasoning. Many of the topics that are necessary for inductive reasoning are also key for deductive reasoning, as syllogism, for example, might be entirely composed of definition. Syllogism is an instance, a form of reasoning which a conclusion is drawn, whether valid or not, from two given or assumptions, proposition, premises, each of which the term with the conclusion shares a common middle term not present in the conclusion. All dogs are animals. All animals have four legs. Therefore, all dogs have four legs. Deductive reasoning. In deductive reasoning, example, a college professor is someone who teaches students. Dr. Arnold is a college professor, therefore, Dr. Arnold teaches students. Cause and effect. The topic of cause and effect is likely to be necessary for making inductive arguments for a particular action based on the outcomes of similar actions, because it must be shown in each example that the action was probably caused that outcome. In order to argue for a particular free market policy based on examples of positive outcomes in various countries, we would have to show that it was at least highly probable that the policy in question at hand caused the increase in the example's country's prosperity. Let me read that again. In cause and effect, in order to argue for a particular free market policy based on examples of positive outcomes in various countries, we would have to show that it was at least highly probable that the policy in question had caused increase in the example country's prosperity. Statistics is a way of presenting a very large number of cases in the aggregate as an example. In making a case for or against free market policies, we might cite GDP growth, standard of living, and other metrics of prosperity. And these are things that you use in your speech, right? And your writing. Testimony. The topic of testimony may be a useful way to present an example in an inductive argument. In making case for or against a free market policy, we might quote the testimony for a defector from a communist regime like a Alexander Solzhenitsyn, or a vocal critic of the treatment of workers in a capitalist society like Dolores Huerta. Of course, testimonies are important. Similarity. The topic of similarity is necessary for making an inductive argument because it must be shown that the examples given one analogs to each other to the situation in question. In order to argue inductively that a particular country should adopt free market policy based on examples successful policy in other countries, we should have to show that the economic situation of those countries were similar enough to be used as analog cases. And this is kind of citation. This is from another class about writing. As you can tell, I'm trying to improve my writing and my communication. This podcast is on the self-improvement, and I think this is a great category for myself because I don't have a guest right now, but I'm always trying to improve myself, and I think one of the subjects that I didn't pay a lot of attention was writing and communicating, and now I'm like, man, what an important topic to focus on, and to be able to communicate is, I don't know why I didn't think it was important in the past. I thought numbers and Excel spreadsheets and finance was more important and selling, but the actual writing it down is super important. So I started taking classes to get better. And this is just notes. Citations add credibility to your work. Ideas, creative work, not common knowledge. And then, you know, AP style puts an emphasis on the author's last name and the year of publication, when a study is conducted, and when the theoretical ideas are put forth, who is responsible for conducting study. So basically, AP style puts the author's last name, emphasis on that, and the year of publication. Attribution refers to the act of acknowledging and giving credit to another author or creator. Citation, again, AP intakes. Author and citation, it's author name, title work, title publication, publisher, and date of publication. This is something you would want to Google. Then we got the MLA, which also puts emphasis on the last name. And this is for a class that I was doing. So let's get back to the elements of style. Elision or ellipsis, the omission of words that can be inferred from context. Example: as with rivers, so with nation. Frederick Douglass, What the Slave is the 4th of July, July 5th, 1852. Douglass omitted pronoun and verb. As it was omitted. With rivers, so it is was omitted again. With nations. So as with rivers, so with nations. Another example of elision or ellipse. Children are trained in military tactics to the glory of military achievement, extolled in the curriculum, and the youthful mind perverted to suit the government. Anarchist Emma Goldman, in a speech on the dangers of patriotism, Wyoming 1910, Goldman omits the verbs in the last two lists. Glory is, she omitted is, extolled, and the youth mind is was excluded, perverted. And it would read, the glory of military. You can make sense. That's an ellipse. Alliteration is the repetition of consonant sounds, especially at the beginning. I think I also read this already. The vitality of language lies in its ability to limn the actual, imagine, and the possible lives of its speakers, readers, and writers. So it's the language lies in its abilities to limn the repetition. Toni Morrison's Nobel Lecture, 1993, the repetition, L sounds, languages, lies, limbs, lives. Just style. It's just style, learning about style. Oh, so we had here the metaphor. One more. So let's see it. Metaphor is the use of word or phrase that symbolically represents another word or concept in order to highlight the similarities between the vivid image and act. Analogies help capture an audience's attention and imagination, but they can also make subtle suggestions. Example: I assume unhesitantly that the leadership of this great army of our people dedicated to a disciplined attack upon our common problems. Franklin D. Roosevelt, inaugural address, March 1993, likening overcoming the challenges of the Great Depression with fighting a war, with himself leading the people, his army. The martial metaphor suggested strength. Well, let's read it again. I assume unhesitantly the leadership of this great army of our people dedicated to a disciplined attack upon our common problems. Franklin D. Roosevelt. That makes a little more sense. Inaugural address, March 1933. Likening overcoming the challenges of the Great Depression, fighting a war with himself heading the people of his army. The martial metaphor suggests strength. And then metaphor continue. This afternoon, This afternoon, we gather in this quiet of this sanctuary to pay our last tribute of respect to those beautiful children of God. They entered the stage of history just a few years ago in the brief years that they were privileged to act on this mortal stage. They played their parts exceedingly well. Now the curtains fall. They move through their exit. And the drama of the earthly life comes to a close. Martin Luther King, eulogy for the martyred children, given September 18, 1963, for the four young victims of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama. King likens the lives of the young girls to an act of the stage of history, suggesting to the audience that like parts in play of human lives are ordained by God. Man, Martin Luther King. Impressive writer and introduction. This is a tip, or you can say a tip, or what's another word, or advice. Introduction. Break the silence, name the subject, and engage interest and attention. Personification refers to some place, idea, or a thing, as it were, a person capable of thought and emotion. For example, Kerner Commission told white America what black America had always known, that prejudice and hatred build the nation's slums, maintain them, and profit by them. Representative Sherrill Kaisholm, speaking to the House of Representatives against reduction in spending and social programs, March 16, 1969. Prejudice and hatred are figured as persons hard at work in the business of oppression. Another example, a shock of its striking world stand helpless before the fact of death. Cardinal Richard Cushing, in his national televised eulogy, President F. Kennedy, November 20th, 1963, the world is here imagined as a shocked onlooker at Kennedy's accession. Polypteton. This kind of repetition uses two or more different forms of the same root word. Example, he found himself an orphan in an orphan world. Eily Weasel, reflecting on his experience during and after the Holocaust in his speech at the White House, April 1985. Another example, with so many guided missiles and so much misguided leadership, the stakes are extremely high. Reverend Jesse Jackson, speaking to the Democratic Party convention on July 18, 1988, Atlanta, Georgia. sibilance. I think we already read this one, but let's do it one more time. Sibilance is the word sibilant that came from Latin word hissing. Sibilance refers to the repetition sibilant consonant sounds like S, A, S, H, Z, and J. Example, courage, brothers. The battle for humanity is not lost or losing. All across the sky sit signs of promise. The slave is rising in his might. The yellow millions are tasting liberty. The black Africans are writhing toward the light. And everywhere, the laborer with a ballot in his hand is voting. Open the gates of opportunity and peace. The morning breaks over the blood-stained bills. We must not falter. We may not shrink. Above are the everlasting stars. W.E.B. Du Bois, Nigeria Movement Speech, Harper's Ferry. Niagara Movement Speech, Harper's Ferry, August 1906. Here in the final movements of the speech, Du Bois falls into lyrical cadence, evoking the crescendo of an anthem or the climax of the sermon. Hello, podcast friends. I'm back to finishing the study session on the elements of style for rhetoric, the art of persuasive writing, and public speaking. So let's get to it. Term either or fallacy. Either or fallacy involves in insisting on a binary opposition of terms when in fact there are multiple options. An example, either you're in favor of this new rent control policy or you're supporting the very worst of gentrification. There are really only two options, appeasement and war. A little Spanish wisdom. My mother always used to say, el burro trabaja dos veces, which means the donkey works twice as much. But what she really meant is that do it right the first time. That's what it means. Let's continue. Division. The topic of division enumerates the constituent parts of an idea, entity, or argument and articulates the logical relationship of those parts to each other. I want to talk to you today, example of division. I want to talk to you today about three places where we began to build the great society: in our cities, in our countryside, and in our classrooms. Our societies will never be great until our cities are great. Today, the frontier of imagination and innovation is inside these cities and not beyond their borders. It will be the task of our generation to make the American city a place where future generations will come not to live, but to live the good life. A second place where we begin to build the great society is in our countryside. We have always prided ourselves on being not only America the strong and America the free, but America the beautiful. Today, the beauty is in danger. The water we drink, the food we eat, the very air that we breathe are threatened with pollution. A third place to build the great society is in the classrooms of America. There your children's lives will be shaped. Our society will not be great until every young mind is set to free scan the farthest reach of thought and imagination. President Lyndon Johnson outlined his domestic policy, the Great Society Program, before Congress, January 5th, 1995. I like that one. Continue. Contraries. Another topic that is similar to the topic of definition is the topic of contraries. Contraries are two terms that are opposite or that cannot be both be true. In such a case, providing that tone of the terms is true, it is enough to disprove the other. When the traffic light is green, for example, it cannot be red, establishing the fact rules out the possibility of the other. Sometimes there are only two options when we come to a fork in a road. For example, we know that our path must be either to the left or to the right. More often though, as in the example of the traffic light, there are other possibilities. In this case, establishing one of these terms is false does not prove that the other is true. In this case, establishing that one of these terms is false does not prove that the other is true. If the light is not red, it may still be either green or yellow. Contraries continue. Often an argument that uses the topics of contraries will align two pairs of contrary terms and use one to make claim about the other. Two contraries here are day and night, honest deed and evil. If a link can be established between the first two terms of the pair, day and honest deeds, we find it easy to imagine that those terms contraries will coincide. Daylight is the proper home of honest deeds. It is the night that harbors evil. Slippery slope. The slippery slope fallacy suggests that one single action or event must be inevitably lead to a whole sequence of related events. Now, the slippery slope argument may have some truth to it without establishing direct causal link. However, it is impossible to say what will happen for certain. If we legalize marijuana, it won't be long before there are shops selling heroin on every corner. Don't let yourself have that cookie. Pretty soon you'll be completely out of shape. Examples. Faulty generalization. Faulty generalization is a problem in moving from particular example to a larger claim. To have been bearing on a case, each rhetorical example must be analogs to the case, and the conclusion must suit the representatives of the examples. I couldn't seem to get good grades in my statistics course. I must be bad at math. Our Olympic swim team didn't win a single medal this year. I'm sure the gymnastics won't do well either. Ethos ethical appeal is based on establishing credibility of the speaker or writer. Ethos is often deployed indirectly in 50 years. In 50 years of studying the governments of nation on every country, I have found that the more democratic the government, the happier the people. Ethos, ethic, establishing credibility. Pathos, audience emotion. Positive emotions link pride or hope, or negative ones, fear or hatred. Example, what is the alternative to democracy? Every man, woman, and child cowering in terror under the brutal rule of another Hitler, another Stalin? Not one home will be safe from the power of the state. Leading or complex question. The leading question involves some tactic, contestable assumption. In order to answer the question as it was asked, the other person will have to admit the truth of the question premises. Example, when did you stop cheating on your exams? Is it true that you supported loosening immigration regulations to let all kinds of dangerous and terrorists into the country? Straw man. Like the argument ad hominem, the straw man argument is a division. It is the tactic of misrepresenting someone's argument to make it easier to counter. Do you really think Mr. Anderson is qualified for this engineering position? His degree is in sociology. How can you say that sociology isn't important? The humanities and social sciences teach critical thinking skills that our society badly needs. Argument ad hominem. The argument ad hominem is the fallacy of making a personal attack on your interlocutor instead of answering his or her arguments, though it fails to address the interlocutor's logic or evidence. It can often still be persuasive because it affects the other person's ethos and hence his or her credibility. We shouldn't take Senator McDowell, for example, we shouldn't take Senator McDowell's foreign policy proposal seriously. See, he couldn't even keep her hotel company from going out of business. Argument ad populum. Argument ad populum takes two primary forms, either an appeal to something everybody knows, or the use of charge words that play on emotion or historical associations that will resonate with the audience without necessarily being grounded in fact. Though it does not necessarily hold water, it is often still persuasive since it can involve a powerful appeals to pathos. Everybody knew that the free trade policies are the only way to bring about economic growth. Patriotism is just Nazism in disguise. For example, equivocation. Equivocate in deductive reasoning is to change your terms halfway through. This is most likely to happen when a word means two things or when concepts are similar but have a key difference. A new study shows that sleep is essential to good health. Therefore, you must take naps in order to be healthy. Professor Hamilton's website says that the teaches a class on Marxism literary theory. Marxism are dangerous communists and shouldn't be teaching our children. Kaisism and anti-tabulo. Kaisism is the inversion of grammatical structure in successive clauses. Anti-tabulo is the repetition of the same words inverse grammatically order in successive clauses. In the quizzes for this, we'll refer to the heading chiasm. Both figures of speech create a mirroring effect. Chiasm, love without end and without measure, grace, John Milton, Paradise Lost. Timetable, mankind must put an end to war or war will put an end to mankind, John F. Kennedy addressed before the United Nations General Assembly, September 25th, 1961. Argument ad hominem. Example, Mr. Olson is just another uneducated bumpkin from the country. We can't trust his opinion on healthcare reform. Antithesis. A pair of opposing terms, indirect juxtaposition. This figure of speech often plays a part in the topics of contradiction and contraries. Antithesis often occurs within the scheme of parallelism, which works to emphasize the opposition of the terms. Example, it was the best of time, it was the worst of time. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief, it was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. Menotomnin. Menotomnin is the trope referring to a person or place or thing by the name of one of its attributes or other things associated with. Like the metaphor, this trope works by logic of substitution. Many scholars also distinguish a trope of synecdoche, in which person, places, or thing is referred to by name of one of its parts. For the purpose of this class, however, we will consider both tropes under the general heading of metonym. Example of metonym: woman's power can only be expressed and make itself felt when she refuses the task of bringing unwanted children into the world to be exploited in the industry of slaughter in wars. Okay, and the last one, contradiction. The syllogism depends on two pairs of contradictory terms, teaching and not teaching, being a professor or not being a professor. If one term is in such a pair is true, the other by definition must be false. Contradiction. A college professor is someone who teaches students. Dr. Arnold does not teach students, therefore Dr. Arnold cannot be a professor. Podcast friends and listeners, I want to say thank you for listening. If you're listening this far, you're really interested in rhetoric and the art of persuasive writing and public speaking, and like anyone else, or you just want to get better at writing and communicating and composing. So with that, guys, I end this podcast. I hope this brings value to someone, and have a great day. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.